Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Hello, and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson. In this episode, I'm going to talk about what you can live with and what you can live without. All long-term relationships experience something in a way of learning about your partner and what you can live with and what you can live without. That's a really important distinction to make because in the beginnings, and I will say it this way, when you are all caught up in love and just nothing can go wrong, you're in that honeymoon phase. And that's a good place to be because that's sort of what it takes to get things on track and to get you connected with somebody, to kind of get you locked in or at least to get some feeling of cohesiveness. It takes all of that being in love and being blind to a lot of possibilities of what could go wrong to get things started. So that's the good thing about it. I can say a lot of other things, but I want to start there. That's the good thing about that honeymoon period. Now, when that starts to, say, waver, and that can be anywhere from 6 months to a year, maybe a little bit longer, what starts to come up at that point is some of the other things about a person who you've been involved with, and they may have had shadows of this early on, but it just wasn't something that may have made itself known to you in a big way. You might have thought, let's say, a person has a bad habit. Let me just kind of give you an example of something. Maybe they're messy. And you didn't know that when you first got involved, because remember, in the honeymoon phase, everybody's on their best behavior. But it takes a little while after you get through the honeymoon phase to start seeing other things because, you know, you yourself, you've gone through various mood swings based on your day, and you're not just putting on a face just to make your partner happy. And as you experience this of yourself and of your partner in the relationship, hopefully you have some idea based on past experience what you can live with and what you can live without. And you know, we're still in this place of discovering our partner. And I'm going to give you this from the perspective of someone that's been in a long-term relationship. We're talking about being able to live with certain things and being able to live without certain things. So, for example, when your partner has certain habits that can be, and I'm going to use this word, fairly annoying. Some things are deal breakers in the experience of a relationship. If you're a person that's a non-smoker and you absolutely would not be okay with somebody who is a smoker, then you probably wouldn't get involved with that individual because that's your deal breaker. Other people don't necessarily have that as a criteria. But knowing what your limits are is very important because certain things you're not going to bring up in terms of making it a deal breaker. And I'll give you an example of what happens in my household. I love to vacuum. So two things that I do is I vacuum and I love to do the dishes. Why the dishes? Because I like to make sure that my dishes are absolutely spotlessly clean before I put them in a dishwasher. I mean, technically, my dishwasher serves as a drying rack. Now, some people don't care about that. And for their experience, they would just as soon throw them in the dishwasher and let the dishwasher handle everything. Well, I come from a different background where I had to wash the dishes as a kid. So my fixation is on clean dishes and vacuuming. Now, yeah, it makes me a good housemate, but what I can also tell you is when it comes to, let's say, opening my mail, I tend to put it in a big stack, and I don't get around to it until I get around to it. So certain things I'm very, very much a neat freak about, and other things I tend to be a little bit of a clutter bug. So if you're a type of person who can handle a little bit of clutter, like, say, for example, my stack of mail, then you're okay with that. But some people can't. And, you know, that's just a small example, but there are bigger things. For example, some people snore. And if you have a partner that can't handle the snoring, maybe you have to sleep in a separate bedroom. So then in an example like that, yeah, the relationship will stay together, but you don't get to sleep with your partner. And some people are really big on having to sleep with their partner. And these are the kind of things that you learn over time. Well, that's not going to necessarily happen early in a relationship and stay together. I've known people who have been in relationships for, you know, 20, 25 years. And as the persons get older or the individuals get older, then there's certain health challenges that they take on. You know, that's part of their relationship. So they understand the ups and downs of it, and they're in it for better or for worse. But if you're new in a relationship, and let's say, for example, you've had the experience of being with a partner who's had health challenges, and you've decided that you don't want to be a caretaker for somebody like that. And this is a reality for some people, that if they've gone through the experience of having been a caretaker, and maybe they have decided that the reason a person isn't healthy is because they don't want to take on their health. Well, that could be a bit of a burden. And if you're a person who's more of a, you wants to go to the gym, wants to work out, wants to exercise, you're not likely going to want to be with someone who won't take their health seriously. So that's a deal breaker in some people's experience. Now, have I known people to get divorced for over something like that? Well, I've seen it manifest that that was one of the reasons that they didn't like somebody to or want to be with somebody any longer. But that wasn't a problem. That was a symptom of other things going on. But if you're new in a relationship, then these are the kind of things that you want to be aware of for yourself. So when you're shopping for a partner, and you want to ask the kinds of questions that let you know something about their lifestyle. How neat are they? Do they take care of themselves? And do they smoke? Are they a non-smoker? It's, you know, the kinds of things that you decide for yourself whether you can live with or live without. Because when you start to think about the kinds of problems that happen in relationships, and as I gave an example of something that was more of a symptom and not necessarily the problem itself, it causes a lot of anxiety for some people in relationships. They can't decide whether, you know what to do, and this thing is just constantly churning in the back of their mind. They think, okay, wow, gee whiz, you know, I want to talk about this problem, but I can't talk about this problem because it's going to seem like I'm being nitpicky. And again, that's usually a symptom of something that's going wrong. It's not necessarily the main cause. But if you feel like these are the kinds of things that are going to make your partner unavailable to you, now we're getting to what's really behind all of this. It's just the fact that your partner is not available when you want your partner to be available, say to go take a trip somewhere or go shopping with you or to help you around the house or do some sort of other chore, which is what we want our partners available for us to be. Not always are we going to pay somebody else to do the kinds of things that we can do ourselves. But having had the experience of people that say have toxic habits, and for me, it's not just necessarily what they put in their body, but a lot of times it's how they think. It's their thinking process. I tend to be a pretty happy guy. And for myself, if I'm helping someone problem solve, I can do that and stay fairly neutral. But if I'm involved with somebody who tends to be primarily, say, negative thinking, then that's going to affect me. That's going to affect, because I'm going to feel like I've got to try to keep my partner up and alive and happy at my own expense, because I'm going to want to talk about the things that bother me from time to time. So that's just an illustration of thinking about things you can live with and live without. I'm going to take a break and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, and then I'll move on. Stay tuned.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
And we're back. I'm talking about things you can live with and things you can live without. And in this experience of being in the coupledom, as I like to call it, that is, you have a partner, when long-term relationships have a different dynamic that's going on, there's more interdependence on your partner, and things tend to happen in long-term relationships that don't necessarily happen in short-term relationships, being that long-term relationships tend to have a little more tolerance for things because there's already an established history. There's an emotional commitment, an attachment that has been there for a relatively longer period of time. And you see these kinds of things as far as part of the, you know, the better or worse part of it. But when you're in a shorter-term relationship, something that might be first starting out, yeah, I talked about the honeymoon period, but here's where you're going to want to know something about your needs. And this is where you have to have good interview skills. And I talk about this from time to time when, like I said, when you're partner searching, you want to find out something about your love interest so that when you get into that honeymoon phase, then you're not going to just have yourself blinded by all the toxicity that that person has within them. You're going to want to find out about that early on so that you don't get so invested that it's really hard for you to back out. Because far be it that you get hooked into someone and then you start becoming sort of an enabler, because that doesn't necessarily give you an opportunity to be your best self. Because see, the thing that enablers do, and they don't realize sometimes that they are doing that, is they, in being an enabler, sometimes you are feeding your own dysfunction. You may not know it when you're doing it, but when you're feeding your own dysfunction, you're not giving yourself the opportunity to grow and be a better you. And I see this from time to time when what happens is, if there is something that is comes out of your childhood, and I'll just describe it that way, there's a pattern of behavior where you're always left with having to fix things for someone else. And now you look to get into a relationship where you're always fixing your partner, always propping them up. Now, you may get some emotional reward from that because you feel like you're doing a good deed. And there's definitely a lot of value in being that for someone. But if that person can't reciprocate, then you're setting yourself up for a lot of expenses. I mean, not just financially, but emotionally. Because this person that you're involved with may never get to a place where they can support you. And if they're always dependent upon you, how significant is that relationship going to be when you need someone emotionally to lean on? I'm not saying that this is going to be you in the future, but I have found in talking with people, it's great that you have a network of friends, because it's very difficult for one person to show up in your life and be everything that you need that person to be. Like that's the difficult person to find. It's a high bar that gets set also in sometimes in our expectations. But if given that you're having a relationship challenge, you need to be able to talk to your partner about that. And not necessarily somebody outside of the relationship, like say a friend or something, unless they're a counselor, because they can give you tips maybe on where you might be short-sighted in some things, or bringing your partner in, you can renew your bond. You can renew the strength and the fabric of your relationship because you two get to discuss it. But if you take the problems that you have and discuss them with, say, a third party, where you tend to get caught up in having those conversations with a third party, if you had chosen a partner who was better able to be a partner to you because of your needs, then you might be able to handle that a lot differently. I'm not saying that this is necessarily going to turn into an affair of some type. That's beyond what the scope of this is. But it's the dissatisfaction that you will have with that relationship because you didn't do the due diligence up front. And a lot of these things can really telegraph themselves. And this is why I believe personally why you start out in a friendship and give yourself an opportunity to have the situation grow. I know the temptation to want to get involved with someone because you have chemistry, and I'm talking the physical chemistry, and you want to lock this thing in because it's really going good. It's feeling great. Well, I'm not saying that you don't have good physical chemistry, but also look at some of the other parts of a person's personality. Are they a hot-headed individual, or are they calm in difficult situations? Do they step up and like to be part of the solution, or are they someone that just tends to sit back and let everybody else solve the problems? See, different kinds of situations, different kinds of scenarios, and what I find attracts people are those individuals who are willing to face situations and issues and want to solve them so that we can get on to other more fun things. Fun things, you know, just life, and not always have problems just stare us in the face waiting for a solution. Some things that you face may be on the idea of, well, there's some maturity that has to come. And sometimes that happens in life. And other things, it could be philosophical. You might have to learn how to handle things in a different way. And getting exposure to different people, sometimes it gives you an introduction to different ways to be in life. Because I can imagine what it's like when you've grown up thinking things one particular sort of way. But when you meet someone new, they may be able to introduce something in the way of fun and enjoyment, problem solving, give you new experiences, something that you never thought of. And I like that possibility. But you have to be willing to be open to something like that. Closed-minded people tend to want it their way and only their way. And that for me, and I'm just giving it from myself, that to me is generally a deal breaker, because I like to be involved in the decision making, and I like my partner to be involved in the decision making, because I feel like when we are both, then we both can enjoy it the same amount. And this is something I've heard from women, and I've talked to a lot of women about their what they like to see in a man. And of the women that I've spoken to, they don't expect the man to pay for everything. When they go out on a date, yes, they love to have the door open for them. They like to have the chair pulled out. It makes them feel feminine. But they also don't expect the guy to have to foot the bill for everything that comes along. But by and large, they don't want the guy to just disappear when it comes time for the check. They understand that, we're a couple, we're partners, we do things, 50-50, or if it's my turn to pay, then I'll do it. And when it's her turn to pay, she'll do it. That's perfectly okay, because then it seems like we both have a great deal of respect for each other. But the women I've spoken to say they do not want a guy who is just going to sit back and not take an interest and not respect me for being the woman that I am, that I'm speaking from the woman's point of view, not respect me for being the woman that I am, who is interested in not only being in the relationship, but really investing in it. And of the women that I've spoken to, they don't expect the man to pay for everything. When they go out on a date, yes, they love to have the door open for them. They like to have the chair pulled out. It makes them feel feminine. But they also don't expect the guy to have to foot the bill for everything that comes along. But by and large, they don't want the guy to just disappear when it comes time for the check. They understand that, we're a couple, we're partners, we do things, 50-50, or if it's my turn to pay, then I'll do it. And when it's her turn to pay, she'll do it. That's perfectly okay, because then it seems like we both have a great deal of respect for each other. But the women I've spoken to say they do not want a guy who is just going to sit back and not take an interest and not respect me for being the woman that I am, that I'm speaking from the woman's point of view, not respect me for being the woman that I am, who is interested in not only being in the relationship, but really investing in it, and then treat me like I don't exist. And let me give you a brief example of how that works. When there's a conversation that we're discussing problems, it really has to be give and take. When I speak, you listen. When you speak, I listen. Where there's no crosstalk, there's no filibustering, the opportunity to be heard is shared equally. And again, we're talking partners. And this is something, it's very subtle. But when you're learning to be with someone, remember about learning how to problem solve, learning how to listen, learning what you're listening for. Because some people, it's interesting how when they get involved in the relationship and they're past the honeymoon phase, some people tend to become a little bit aggressive or passive aggressive. And these aren't traits that usually come out in the very, very beginning unless you're paying close attention. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hello, and we're back. I'm talking about living with and living without. These are basically traits of the individual that you're with, and giving yourself this mindset so that when you are, say, out there dating and you're trying to find a partner, you want to know some things about your partner before you get really deep involved. And here's a big one. And as I had started to make mention of it at the end of the last segment, I'm talking about passive aggressive people. If you don't know what that term means, here's an illustration. Let's say we're having a conversation and you're asking me to tell you everything that's on my mind. And something I might say to you might upset you because maybe we've had a little disagreement and what lands on you upsets you. Now, you pretend to be okay with what I've told you, and I'm figuring that, hey, we've been open and honest and we're going to move forward. Well, now, a passive-aggressive person tends to feel like, okay, I'm going to get even. But they're not going to tell you that they're upset with you. They're just going to do something to undermine you or to get even with you because they're angry about what you said. Passive-aggressive people do this all the time. Now, there are lots of reasons they do it. Sometimes they do it because they don't feel comfortable in themselves actually saying something because they think that it's going to come back on them. You know, the very thing that they just did, they're mad at you, but they won't tell you but they do something behind your back. It happens all the time. And a lot of times we tend to focus on the person who is outwardly demonstrative, meaning person lets you know that they're angry or upset. And we tend to take a big issue with that. Well, and oftentimes the reason we take issue with it is because of the way they display their anger. Maybe they do it in a very menacing way. That's not okay. But let me give you the other side to this. And this is the person who seems to be very passive and very afraid all the time. But yet they still have it in their way that they're going to be underhanded. They're going to do something to get even. You see, that's not okay either. That person has to learn to represent themselves so that in a conversation, they have every right to speak their piece so that you can get a better, more clearer understanding of what's gone on. Because sometimes passive, and you know, they don't always intend to do it now. Always is a global statement, so that's why I tend to want to avoid that in explanations like this. Passive-aggressive people don't necessarily do it because they think they're being passive-aggressive. A lot of passive-aggressive people do these kinds of things out of fear because they're afraid of speaking up for fear of being either ridiculed or maybe being harmed. But nonetheless, it is still passive-aggressive. We tend, like I said, we tend to focus more on the person who's more demonstrative. But like I said, again, it's about how you display your anger. You cannot do it in a way that's menacing or threatening to someone and expect them to actually be honest with you. Because now we have this imbalance in power, so to speak, or at least on the outward side. Another passive-aggressive thing that happens in couples is you get one that withholds love from the other person. That happens. Somebody withholds sex. Somebody withholds something. And there is a reason behind it that can be worked out, but sometimes they just don't do it. So if you happen to display one of those characteristics I talked about, yeah, you're passive aggressive. And it's worth really examining what's going on behind the scenes for you. If you're afraid, I could understand that you're afraid. You want to find a way to be less afraid and talk about your feelings. You know, there's lots of ways to go about that. My first inclination is to try to talk to your partner. If you don't feel comfortable with that, then maybe getting with some professional help, somebody who can help you find your voice. And maybe you don't know how to begin that conversation with someone. Then it's even more imperative that you learn to do this. But as I'm giving these illustrations about living with and living without, I'm a person who does not do well with passive aggressive people because I tend to lay all my cards out on the table and express myself. And I've been in the impact of that. And I admittedly, I have done it. And when I realized what it was, I understood how important it was to not do that so that I could be more upfront. And it caused me to do a very deep self-analysis, to do a self-examination as to what am I doing that's making this a problem. And I found out a number of things, one of which I'm a pleaser. So I don't like to upset someone. And if in fact I find out someone is upset with me, then I tend to try to do something to fix it. But there are times when I had felt resentful that I had the burden placed on me to have to fix something. So you see, sometimes the details of something like this helps you figure out that there is a responsibility that I have, and then there is a responsibility that I don't have. And I have to really work those things out with a partner. So it requires me knowing not only how to problem solve, but knowing myself so that I can be honest in both parts. And it generally works out better for me because now that I recognize this, I also know what my shortcomings are. And now that I've shared those, my partner also, she knows to look for these things as well. So I'm a much better person. I've grown up. And, you know, maturity helps with this. When you're young and you're getting into a relationship for the first time or maybe relatively new in the relationship, then these things might not show up in the same way. Because, again, maturity makes a big difference. You might not recognize what passive aggressive is or some of these other terms that I've talked about. But if you do, then great. And, you know, it might even be something that happened in your family dynamic that you're just now becoming aware of. So it's even more imperative that you get a handle on this so that it's not something that continues to be part of, say, a dysfunction. Hey, I've been talking about what you can live with and what you can live without. I'm John Johnson, and this is the Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, and I want to thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.